Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Today's lesson comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. That can be found on page 739 or 777 in your pew Bible. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks, Nancy, and thanks, Heather and choir. That was lovely. As I mentioned earlier, a few years ago, we had some friends in town with us, and they came to worship on Sunday before heading back down to Atlanta. One of them had not really grown up in church very much, and the Bible passage that day was this one, because the cycles for the seasons go every 3 years, so we were in Luke 3 years ago. I tried to explain a little bit about Pharisees in the sermon, but didn't really do enough, because as they were walking back to the house after worship, one of the friends turned to Kelsey and asked, "So what's a Pharisee?" We were a little surprised that he asked that, because that's one of those words that sometimes even makes it over from religious conversations into general conversations. If someone is being Pharisaical, then they're being a stickler for the rules. But it's a reminder that even when we try to explain something, we don't always get the context clues to come across. So when our friend asked that question, Kelsey said, "Well, the Pharisees were not fair, you see. And the Sadducees were sad to see." No, she didn't actually say that. Does anybody remember that song? Well, she just explained who the Pharisees were. But if you've been in churches for a while, you might know that little rhyme. You've probably picked up on the fact that the Pharisees were constantly asking questions of Jesus, trying to play games, trying to trap Jesus in his sayings, having arguments with him. The Pharisees saw themselves as the keepers of the integrity of the law, the Jewish law. So in a way, they actually were fair, you see. In fact, they were about the most fair because they were trying to keep the law intact. And on the other hand, the Sadducees actually were very sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And that is pretty sad. But in this passage, we find the Pharisees being quite fair. They'd been taking issue with many of the things Jesus was doing, pointing out how he was pushing the boundaries of the law as they saw it. And there was actually some respect there. Some of the Pharisees actually really liked Jesus' teachings. And in many ways, Jesus himself could have qualified as a Pharisee because of his knowledge of the law and because of his status as a teacher. I mean, this passage is at the end of Luke chapter 13, and Luke chapter 14 starts out with Jesus eating at the home of a prominent Pharisee on the Sabbath. That means that not only did Jesus have dinner with the man and his family and some others, but he was probably there for the entire day with him as well. So even though most of the Pharisees were uncomfortable with Jesus, they kind of saw him as one of their own. There were some good relationships there. Think of it as professors who disagree on something but are still friends. Or maybe like lawyers who go up against one another in court and then afterward go have dinner together and they're friends that night. Actually, when I talk with young lawyers here in Danville, they say that's one of the best things about practicing here in a smaller city, that there's still that kind of collegiality. And I have that kind of relationship with other pastors in town as well. And at the end of the day, we aren't fighting personal battles with one another. Lawyers are working to uphold the integrity of the law. Pastors are working to steward the gospel. So in this passage, when the Pharisees come to Jesus and they say, "Hey, you might want to hold back a little bit because Herod wants to kill you," they're really kind of looking out for him. And they're looking out for themselves as well. If Herod finds an excuse to kill a popular teacher of the law because he doesn't like what he's doing, then Herod might start looking for excuses to kill the other teachers of the law as well. They wanted Jesus to be able to live to debate them another day. And they wanted to live to debate one another another day. So this conversation here in Luke 13 gives us a little depth on the Pharisees. But it also tells us just how much they did not understand. They mistakenly thought that Jesus had the same agenda that they did. But Jesus had a different agenda. Jesus was not just interested in upholding the integrity of the law and teaching people new ways to understand it. He had another task in mind. So when the Pharisees told him that he should hold off on healing people and casting out demons and he should go somewhere else because Herod wanted to kill him, Jesus says, "You go and you tell that fox that I'm going to keep curing people, and I'm going to keep curing people tomorrow, and on the third day, I'll reach my goal." And in the way that Luke tells this story, the word for cure and the word for goal are the same, well, they have the same root, telos, which means completion. I'm going to complete curing people. I'm going to complete my goal. Jesus was not just looking for intellectual sparring partners. He was not just trying to make his own contribution to the study of the law. He had a purpose that he had to complete. And in order to do so, he was willing to engage Herod in an old-fashioned game of chicken. Jesus basically says, "Herod may want to kill me, but I'm going to keep going all the way on to Jerusalem." Jesus also calls Herod a fox, which on the one hand means that Herod was crafty and sly, but on the other hand, it's actually a bit of an insult. Even though foxes are crafty, they aren't all that threatening to people. They're more of a pest. If you're hiking through the woods and a fox crosses your path, you probably aren't going to run away. They're pretty dainty. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Foxes and possums and cats, oh meh. A fox was not going to stop Jesus' march toward Jerusalem. And neither were some frightened Pharisees. But Jesus sees the Pharisees' fear. The Pharisees are pretty afraid of Herod. And he knows that if the Pharisees who are outside of Jerusalem have that kind of fear, then the Pharisees inside Jerusalem are really going to have that fear. So Jesus has already revealed some of his feelings, and he becomes even more emotional in what he says next. "I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem." Right there, Jesus tells the Pharisees that he does not have their same agenda. They may be scholars and teachers, but he is a prophet. Pharisees may get to preaching, but prophets get to meddling. A scholar of the law has lots of good theories to talk about, but a prophet points out what needs to change. And that's why prophets get killed. And they get killed by their own people, the ones whom they love enough to challenge, even at the people's own risk. Jesus goes on to say this, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Well, Jesus may not be afraid of a fox, but he knows the risk that a fox poses to his children. So not only does Jesus get emotional here, he draws out an analogy that anyone listening to him would have understood. There's a fox in the hen house, and the fox is Herod. And Herod had his power because the Romans let him have it. But he could only have it if he kept the people peaceful. Prophets disturb the peace. Herod didn't like having to kill prophets. Remember, he didn't want to kill John the Baptist, but he did. So there's also the probability that the Pharisees were trying to appease Herod by telling Jesus to go somewhere else in order to keep things peaceful. So, the Pharisees were interested in preserving the law and keeping the peace. But Jesus seems to suggest that those two things are not compatible with one another. Well, how so? Well, let's look at the chicken analogy for a minute. If you have chickens, what do you do to protect your chickens? Well, you build a coop. Now, part of the reason for building a chicken coop is that you want to keep the chickens contained. The law was kind of like the chicken coop. God had given the people the law so that they could be identified as His and so that they could know who He is. But keeping the chickens contained is not the only reason for building a chicken coop. The main reason for building a chicken coop is to protect the chickens. The law was also a protection for the people, God's protection for the people. And when people strayed from the law, they were straying from God. The law also provided a test. If you look back through the Old Testament and look at all the prophets, by and large, God sent them to point out the trouble that was inside the hen house, often with a king who was not faithful to God and was leading the people astray. So what the Pharisees were trying to do, preserve the integrity of the law while also appeasing a king who didn't submit to God's authority, was not tenable. You can build the best chicken coop in the world, but it doesn't make much difference if you're negotiating visiting hours with the fox. The Pharisees thought that the point of being in the coop was to admire the coop and see how interesting they could make the coop. But the point of being in the coop was to stay close to the mother hen. The purpose of God's law was not to be the best set of laws in the world. The purpose of the law was to prepare the people to understand God and know when He is near. The purpose of the church is to not be the most interesting church or the most relevant church, but to keep one another close to Christ, studying His word, doing His work, so that we can know who truly loves us and protects us and puts His own life on the line for us, like the mother hen guarding her chicks against an attack. We are followers of Jesus so that we can stay close to Jesus and so that we can tell others to do the same. Jesus longs for us to know where our true safety lies. And because we know that Jesus longs to gather all of His children to Himself, we cannot be content to simply be cooped up in our comforts. Following Jesus means taking the same risks that He took, knowing that there are always going to be foxes out in the world trying to harm us, but also knowing that His power is greater than what any of them possess. There are always going to be foxes. But there's also always going to be Jesus. And they may have killed Him like they killed the other prophets, but we know that in His resurrection, we have safety and faith. We have grace that calls us closer. As we allow Jesus to work in our lives, we gain the strength of the Holy Spirit. As we allow Jesus to play chicken with us, play mothering hen with us, as we run to Him for our safety and our protection and our faith, He enables us to play chicken with the foxes in the world. And we come to see them for what they are, just foxes. By Jesus' own love and protection, He gives us the strength to face the world. And He builds us together so that we may do it together as a community of believers called to be His body. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.